Hey, y'all. You're listening to Winning at Life. Live. Yeah, live financial news talk radio. Get your phones out. Give us a call. You have a financial situation, not sure what to do. Could it be about your 401k? Could it be about that thrift plan? How about that IRA? What about doing a Roth? How about doing some Roth conversions? I've got a question for you, or a question you can ask about Social Security. When's the best time to turn it on? How does Social Security look at your benefits? Yeah, we can talk about all those things. Call us 504-260-0995. I'll give you the number one more time. 504-260-0995. Catch up with us on the Winning at Life app. Go ahead, add that to your smartphone. Real easy, quick download. You can text, email, call the show. It helps you become a part of the Winning at Life community. We send you an email on Monday, short one, but with stuff that you need. Also, we have a Wednesday Q&A, updates on the show as well, and even help with streaming. You can audio stream the show. Facebook Live, you can watch the show over there. We're on the Winning at Life Facebook page right now as I speak. So, friend, like us, you know, do those social things, and more importantly, share it with your friend list. We'd appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing so. And today is Thursday, a lot to cover. And so, James, how's it going?
Fantastic.
Hey, no, here we go. You know, a day that I thought the numbers might be a down day, pleasantly surprised. The U.S. stock market rose to record levels today as investors shrugged off economic data pointing to slower than expected growth. How about that? Just like, whatever, we're going up, is what the market said. Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 153.60 points, closed at 35,084.53. Yeah, as you can hear, that's a record. How about the S&P 500 climbed to 4,419.15? Yeah, another record as well. The tech-heavy NASDAQ composite underperformed with a 0.1% gain to end of the day at 14,778.26 amid a drop in Facebook and PayPal shares. Let me scroll through my notes here and see what we're going to talk about. Some GDP numbers. Robinhood shares started trading day. You heard of them, James? Robinhood?
Yes, that does ring a bell.
Okay.
Huge bell.
Started trading today on the NASDAQ at $38 a share and eventually closed its opening session more than 8% lower at $34.82. If you were expecting something different, you shouldn't have, because that's usually the way new stocks go. So,
well, and to catch up, if the guy listening to us is fairly new, Robinhood was the app that was in the center of the Reddit versus GameStop and AMC and the hedge fund, that whole battle there. Robinhood was sort of the machine that was making all that happen, and then the machine that the big guys clamped down on. And it was at first the hero, and then it was the villain, and now we don't know where it stands, and the IPO was not very happy about it.
No, it looks like some of the love has faded.
Well, they also discovered
some of
taxes.
The shiny new polish is worn off. Yeah, the tax thing turned out to be,
that's awful.
It's not tax friendly app at all. PayPal and Facebook fell 6.2% and 4% respectively after warning of significant growth slowdown as they reported quarterly earnings. Meanwhile, Ford shares jumped 3.8% after the automobile company raised its 2021 outlook after reporting a surprise profit in the second quarter. I know they've really struggled, as well as other car companies, with the chips, you know, those little computer chips, been having a problem acquiring those. Let's see. So the major market averages are on track to end the month higher, with the S&P up 2.8% for July NASDAQ Composite and Dow are up 1.9% and 1.7% respectively. So let's talk about the GDP now. So it rose, the U.S. economy rose at a disappointing rate in the second quarter. Commerce Department reported today in a sign that the U.S. has escaped shackles of COVID, but still there's more work to do. Gross domestic product is a measure of all goods and services produced during the April to June period, accelerated at 6.5% on an annualized basis. That was a little better than the 6.3% gain in the first quarter, which was revised down narrowly. While that would have been a strong prior to the pandemic, the gain was considerably less than, get this, the estimate was at 8.4%. So a pretty good size miss.
Yikes.
But the market shrugged that off today, as we heard with records. Gross private domestic investment fell 3.5% as declines in private inventory and residential investment held back gains. Rising imports and a 5% decline in the rate of federal government spending, despite the ballooning budget deficit. So how is it they slowed down spending? They must be just piling up cash then. All were factors the Bureau of Economic Analysis report said. Overall increases came thanks to increasing personal expenditures, which rose 11.8% as consumers accounted for 69% of all activity. Well, they keep spending that stimulus money that's being given out is what it appears to me as well. So though output has remained below its pre-pandemic level, the National Bureau of Economic Research pronounced the recession that began in February of 2020 to have ended just 2 months later. And yes, that's the shortest on record. However, the second quarter is likely to be the high point of the pandemic recovery. That's interesting notes there. This is likely to be the high point. Good news is that the economy's now surpassed its pre-pandemic level, wrote Paul Ashworth, chief U.S. economist at Capital Economics. But with the impact from fiscal stimulus waning, surging prices, weakening purchasing power, the Delta variant running amok, especially in the South, and savings rate lower than we thought, we expect the GDP, here it comes, to slow to a 3.5% annualized basis in the second half of the year. A lot to absorb there on that. Amazon reported late. Did you have a thought on the GDP?
It just tells me that the markets were looking more at what Jay Powell said yesterday than the bad numbers coming in. You just gave not bad info, but info that under normal circumstances would give a market a reason to go south. Those are considerable downward pressures, big headwinds. But I think they're still riding off the news yesterday that Jay Powell has no intentions to taper anytime soon.
Yeah, and look, there's another number, and I was about to miss it, but I agree with you on that, and I think that's going to, yeah, we're going to put off tapering, we're going to put off raising interest rates, we're good for now. And this party is still going on for now. It's not coming to an end, but we're watching the clock and seeing it get close. So in a separate report today, the Labor Department said 400,000 people filed initial claims for unemployment benefits for the week ending July 24th. That level is nearly double the pre-pandemic norm and was above the 380,000 Dow Jones estimate. However, it was a decrease from the previous week's 424,000. So continuing climbs edged higher to 3.27 million, according to data that runs a week behind the headline number. So I, once again, along with the GDP miss and the jobs numbers were not too good of things. I thought that was kind of a bummer as well, seeing that trending as well. And then we had another miss today, and that would be Amazon shares fell more than 7% in extended trading today after the company reported its first revenue miss in 3 years and gave weak third quarter guidance. Is this because Bezos retired?
Maybe.
Earnings $15.12 versus $12.30 per share, according to analysts surveyed by Refinitiv. Revenue, $113.08 billion versus $115.2 billion, according to analysts. So revenue is a little bit off. Amazon's revenue grew by 27% year over year. You know what? That sounds like a solid number for any company year over year. That's a significant slowdown from the second quarter of 2020 when sales skyrocketed 40% year over year. Well, everybody's not sitting at home ordering stuff anymore. On a call with reporters, Amazon CFO Brian Olofsky, there we go, blamed tough year-over-year comparisons to its business during COVID-19 lockdowns. In mid-May of last year, Amazon saw growth rates jump between 35 to 45%. He said, we're starting to lap that, and that's why you see some of the growth rate coming down, adding that Amazon expects to see slower growth continue for the next few years. Just kind of saying they're not going to be able to keep up that pace going forward. So that was kind of interesting take, but it is still a behemoth. It really is. U.S. 10-year Treasuries, 1.259% on the yield. Crude oil, not much change, $73.34. Brent, $74.81. Gold was up today. We're at $1,828. Silver at $25.56. I want to circle back to your number you gave us on lumber. So we're at about $600 per thousand board feet.
Yes. So your veteran trained eye who's been watching this longer than me, is that a pattern where lumber's starting to look comfortable?
Yeah, actually, I think so.
Kind of disappointing, seeing as how when this whole gargantuan rise started, it was around 300. So it's double where it was when it started, which isn't great, but way better than the 1600 it was just a few months ago.
There's pretty great demand for it still. I think supply or inventories have not built up. You could see that later in 2022, but there's still going to be strong demand on wood because we're short millions of homes right now. So until that catches up, so building should be continuing.
Well, one thing I keep hearing in the conversation about lumber is, okay, so it's too expensive. What do you replace it with? It doesn't really have good substitutes. You know, you could metal frame a house.
Prices on that have gone up as well.
Yeah, so there's not a whole lot of things
demand
to do what lumber does.
You know, I was out driving across Mississippi recently, and I noticed there's lots of forests. Lots of forests, no shortage of trees. So this isn't a tree problem. We're not running out. I've flown over vast parts of the U.S. and looked down, and there's lots of forests. So it isn't a tree. We got a shortage of trees. No. We've got, you know, it's getting the trees cut. It's getting them milled and getting them to the customers, and that's where the falling behind has. It will catch up, and yeah, that comfortable price that it is doesn't mean it's going to stay in that range. And I'm not going to guess, because we could see pressure under it in the future to where the price does move up. I'd like to say we won't see it go to 1700 per thousand board feet, but with that said, it possibly could be, and we could see it dip down before it moves up. It's just going to have an ebb and flow, and to determine where it's probably going to start seeing consistency is probably going to be a year from now.
Well, that was my lumber thoughts. See, but the thing is if you're trying to build a car or a piece of furniture, and you usually make it out of the leather, if there's a leather shortage, you could maybe use pleather, you know, fake leather, or vinyl, or cloth, you know, or cotton, or polyester, or nylon, or something. But wood just doesn't have that easy substitute. That's all.
I'm looking at a chart now from the 1 year. Yeah. The only consistency is we've seen it move down over since May. Very volatile, but consistently moving down. And then we started seeing the past few weeks, maybe it move up a little bit. Man, it was out hunting for $500 per thousand board feet, but didn't get down there. Couldn't find it and stay. So We'll see. It's a crazy chart.
Well, when you get off the commodities and look at the short sheet, all of our car stocks were huge today. Ford was up almost 4%. GM was up 3.2%. Stellantis, which we used to know as Chrysler our entire lives, was 3.9%.
I still can't get used to that.
Me neither. Sounds like a movie title. And Tesla was 4.7%. Digging around, I'm not really finding a whole lot that is specific to cars, but they all four moved in the same direction. Did we get some good news on chips or something? I don't know. But that's just another thing I noticed out of the numbers today.
Yeah, I'm Googling. You know, where you used to have this phrase, Chrysler Jeep Eagle, is that still a thing?
I don't know. I guess it'd be on the door of their dealerships, yeah, but I hadn't seen a Stellantis dealership. Doesn't that sound ridiculous?
Thank goodness. Well, I just went to their website. So you see Chrysler. I don't even know if there's an Eagle brand. It's just something stuck in my mind. You know, you see Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep in the combination there, because that's all the same family of vehicles. I guess where that is. And it just doesn't catch my attention. But Stellantis, that's it, Stellantis?
Stellantis. Yeah, I feel like telling our Baton Rouge listeners a little secret ahead of time.
Yeah, I'll let you do that.
We're not running the commercials for this yet, but when we do, you hear them, you can say, "Oh yeah, I remember Gregory and Parker told me about this ahead of time." You're getting a little bit of a heads up beforehand because you're nice enough to listen to the show, not just to the commercials that run the rest of the day. So, what are you getting the inside skinny on? The Wine Wisdom and Food Experience that's coming to Baton Rouge, and it's happening September 21st, September 23rd.
Yeah, this will be the first time we've taken the Wine Wisdom food experience to Baton Rouge.
Tell me about Sullivan's. I do not know Sullivan's.
I kind of look at it as an old, when I walked in for the first, old school steakhouse, white linen tables, large dining room, and which I like that feel. And, you know, you can tell that it's a restaurant that is busy, where business is being done, and they have great food. That's my impression.
Well, we have,
and that was because when we walked up, and the shopping center isn't that great, you know, there's vacancies and stuff there, but seeing the steakhouse there, and I'd noticed that before, and Stacy said, what do you think it's going to be like? I said, it won't take me but 2 minutes. I'll walk in the door and we're going to know really quick. And that first impression is, yeah, I'm glad I'm here to eat.
All right. So who needs to go to the Wine Wisdom and Food Experience in Baton Rouge?
If you want to know more about the Invest 50-50, if you want to know more about saving money on taxes, some ideas on estate planning, you want to check out Gregory Ricks and Associates, the Total Wealth Authority. You're seeking some help on your money. You want to make better decisions, and you want to improve the probability of success with your money. Then you should be signing up for this event.
Yeah, and look, this doesn't have to be for people who live in Baton Rouge, you know, and people that listen to our Baton Rouge affiliate. I know on our New Orleans affiliate, we have a lot of people that live in like Gonzales and up in that way.
Yeah, you know, in that region, this is an opportunity. And it's two nights, right?
Yes.
Doing it. So we've got plenty of seating.
September 21st and September 23rd. Now, we're telling you about this in advance because all the ones that we've done this year have filled up and gone to a waiting list. And so this is the gift that you get for listening to the show. You're going to hear about it about a week or so before the commercials start running. And so you're going to be less likely to get on the waiting list, but only if you jump on it now.
I predict it's going to fill up quickly when we actually officially put it out there. This is unofficially, so it's giving you the heads up. But our events at Keith Young's in Madisonville filled up really fast. We filled up two nights in record time.
All right, so to sign up for these, GregoryRicks.com, you go there, there's an events tab at the top, you can click it, and you know how computers work these days.
Well, is it even listed yet?
Oh, that's a good point, too.
Have we caught up?
See, I'm trying to be so early and help them out there.
Yeah, we've just got August 3rd and 5th. No, it's not even up yet. So what you need to do is call the office and ask 504-832-9200 or email info@GregoryRicks.com. We don't even have a sign-up link on the website, but call the office, 504-832-9200.
This is like those music festivals where if you have like a Capital One card, you get the pre-sale, you get in like 24 hours
before everyone else. This is the pre-sale right here.
Right. And aren't you glad you listened to today's show? So, again, the number to call, and look, you're going to talk to a very nice lady, Summer, 504-832-9200. Still focusing a lot on taxes
well,
in this one?
Well, you could talk to Summer. You might talk to Angie. You might talk to Darnita. You might talk to Holly. We've got a lot of people prepared to handle your calls. And you could even call right now. We have an off-hour service that will take your information. And one of my team members will call you back tomorrow.
Is this going along the same train that the Wine, Wisdom, and Food Experience has been doing all year, focusing on taxes and how things have changed with the Secure Act, stuff like that?
Yeah, and one of the things, there's a number of topics I want to cover. We probably have like six bullets that I want to touch on, but it's important that we touch on what your concerns are. And one of the things we do at the event is we provide a concern sheet so you can give us your thoughts and we will look at those and see how much of that we can get in. I've got an interesting stat here for you. And just take this in. If you selected any single month at random to invest in the S&P 500 during the last 30 years, and this is based on a month end of June 30th of this year. So the last 30 years, if you took at random any single month to invest in the S&P 500, you would have achieved a positive total return, 60% of the time. That's like throwing a dart and winning 67% of the time. And let me take that to another. Let's extend that out. If you extended that time horizon where you did it invested any single month, but held it for a year instead of 1 month, you achieved a positive total return 83% of the time. And if your time horizon was 5 years, you achieved a positive total return 84% of the time. Sources BTN Research, and the S&P 500 consists of 500 stocks chosen for market size, liquidity, and industry group representation, to be clear. And no, you would not have won every month, but 67% of the time over the past 30 years, if you just put money in for a month and took it out, that's pretty good odds. And if you kept the money working for 5 years, you would be up 84% of the time. Pretty good success rate. But you know what people dislike, James? They dislike the down months. They dislike that other 16% of the time. And I get that. That's problematic. And we had a recession last year that lasted 2 months, and that was pretty ugly. But those that were patient won with that. But the problem with volatility is when you're taking income, it can impact the assets more so. And that's why I always talk about the invest 50-50 philosophy. And that's where you're utilizing stock ETFs, and you know, you've heard the phrase, if you can't beat them, join them. Well, who beats the indices? Who beats the S&P 500 index consistently? Who beats the Dow consistently? If you can't beat them, join them. I think there's value for having bond ETFs as well. It's a better way to hold bonds is through exchange traded funds. I like index linked investing. I like getting the upside of the market without any downside impact, meaning my money cannot go negative. I like 1 year participation rate as the strategy to get growth there. And I want that mixed in with those other two asset classes. And yeah, I'm talking about fixed indexed annuities. And I'll challenge you, if you're somewhere else considering an annuity or something called 222 or some other, or somebody that specializes in selling those, you ought to call my office and get a second opinion of how to proper balance and how to utilize true growth annuities so you get the upside without the downside exposure. And wait, there's still a fourth asset class that we like to utilize, and that's tactical investing, where we use algorithms to help manage rotation of what's in favor in the marketplace. And, you know, there's algorithm built in to protect from the black swan, meaning like you remember March of last year, that was a black swan event. Back in December, you didn't know that was coming. In fact, January, you didn't know it was coming. I know another month. You didn't know it was coming in February or March, but it came in March. You didn't know how deep it was going to go or how far, but having a tactical approach can help get it, that money that's associated with that can get dialed back. And then through tactical, you want to start finding where is the momentum and move towards that. So that is what the Invest 50-50 philosophy is with a tactical approach. And I think it's important that you understand that. And when you understand the stats there that I gave you, that opportunity is better, but we just don't like that bumpy ride. I remember a client telling me, and she tested on her risk score being conservative, and which concerned me a little bit. And this was a conversation a few years ago, and she had done well in the indices she was related to. And I said, well, you know, based on what I'm hearing, we probably need to make your portfolio more conservative. And she said, oh no, I like it how it is. I just don't want it to go down. Cause that's how the conversation was, you know, I don't want my account to go down any. And I went through a process and it explained and said, you know, we should adjust you to more conservative. And she's like, oh no, I like how it's going. I just don't want it to go down. And I said, but you know, it can. She says, yeah, I know, but I don't want it to. Okay. And you know what? This story I tell often, but what she's doing, she's speaking for everyone. Yeah, I like it when it goes up. I just don't want it to go down. Okay. That's why I talked to you about the Invest 50-50 philosophy with the tactical approach. It's one reason you should sign up for my event in Baton Rouge. You should sign up for my event in Madisonville, which it's full, and upcoming events in New Orleans area and Gulfport that are coming to you soon. And we talk about that as well. If you'd like to join the conversation here, 504-260-0995. Hopefully you got something out of that discussion there, and it's probably a little bit different. But if you were to come into the office and sit down with one of my team members and have them go over with that, the visuals are pretty awesome. And we go over some historicals there, the past 20 years to get that in perspective. And there can be some back and forth. Will, you got questions? Ask the questions. We'll give you some help.
Hey, so one thing I was looking at is the Wednesday Q&A this week. It's been pretty popular. It's the question is, what's the difference between lasers and the optional retirement program? And this is for teachers in Louisiana. And so many people got help from that when we did the segment, and then we did a replay. We got a good response from that. We put it on YouTube, got a great response from that. So it was this week's Wednesday Q&A. Now, this isn't something we're telling you to go to the website and check out. You can. The Wednesday Q&A is always presented at gregoryricks.com. But if you sign up for the newsletter, this is one of the things that's going to be hand-delivered to your mailbox, and I mean that metaphorically.
Do we have that up on YouTube as well?
We do. We okay. do. Yeah, yeah.
So it was good touching bases on the Ask Gregory podcast, and that was a pretty interesting topic that we covered on lasers and the opt-out. And when you opt out, you've opted out. That's a permanent decision. So those that are considering that, and we had a good discussion about that. So jump over to the podcast and check that out. Any comment cards in particular you're looking at?
Well, not the ones for the estate planning event that you had. I'm interested in the Wine, Wisdom, and Food, because that's what's going down next week. That's what's happening. And by next week, I mean August 3rd and August 5th, Wine, Wisdom, and Food at Keith Young's Steakhouse in Madisonville. Gregory's going to be hosting that. Also, the ones that are happening in September 21st and 23rd in Baton Rouge. This is when you walk in, you get one of these cards, you fill it out. Gregory answers some of them at the event, answers some of them on the show, and this is what they sound like.
One of the, and basically it asks a question, what are your primary concerns? And written in is tax-free savings. Well, we know one way to do that is Roth out there. Tax-free savings. Another strategy we have is a max funding strategy. And what you're always looking for is efficiencies. tax-wise, to where you can grow money and perhaps not have to pay taxes on it later out there. And I'll just be real quick with this, but there's three kind of tax worlds I look at. The pre-tax, like 401ks, deductible IRAs, it's going to be taxed as ordinary income when it comes out. The other is tax-free, like Roths, like max funding strategies out there. And then the other world is kind of the pay-as-you-go. It could be savings that you pay as a, and create a step-up basis to where you pay the taxes as you go annually or whenever something may be sold in an after-tax account or when distributions happen from that. So you could have some tax-favorable opportunities, but what most people neglect is the margins there. What your income is versus the next level of taxes going up. I define that as margin. And I challenge everybody, pay more attention to that and don't waste those windows of opportunities where you could shift money and perhaps create more tax-free savings. Another comment was trying to find out if we can retire. You know, in the guided planning system, we use a number of ways to look at that, but that's kind of getting down to what are going to be your income sources. Social Security, do you have a pension? Do you have retirement assets? Do you have rental income and so forth? And the another question that would be brought up when you're kind of looking for the answer to this, or you're asking a question, how do I know if I can retire? One of the things I'm going to ask is, what is your outflow? What's your expenses? You come in for a first meeting with our team. We are going to discuss that. We're kind of looking for that. We do have some help. We can help you with that homework, send out something for you to kind of work through. But one of the simple ways is go, what's the outflow the past 6 months? Now, if you have some big expenses or whatever on occasion that you pay, well, I pay this in the first quarter of each year, and it's kind of a big bill, but that's how I do it. Okay, then look at the past 12 months of outflow and divide it by 12. That's your monthly expenses. So then we shift to, you know, if you're needing $3,000 a month to pay the bills, well, you're going to need a bit more because of taxes. Then we got to look at how is your mix of income coming in, but you might need as much as $4,000 a month to retire then. So do you have $1 million? You might not. Well, how much is your Social Security? So that's where we delve in to having a real discussion and do some exploration financially there to help you with that. That's not something I can just tell you really quick unless you say, yeah, I've got $1 million. I'm going to get $36,000 a year from Social Security, and I only have $1,000 a month in expenses, but I'm still working. Okay. You don't have to work anymore. See, it could be that easy, but it's not. There's more to the questions there. Market volatility is the next one. Market volatility / stock bubble. And they've got some comments regarding inflation and taxes going up. I think taxes going up, if that does happen, look, the Trump Tax Cut and Jobs Act is set to sunset in a few years. So it's going to revert back to previous to that bill being passed in first year of Trump's presidency. And that takes us, that's 4 or 5, we've probably got what, call it 4 more years till that sunset. So we know taxes are going up. Could that impact the market? I think what might impact it more if they raise the corporate rate and get that passed more so. I think inflation also can in fact impact the market, because if it is not transitory, and that's the big question, we think some of this inflation is here to stay, but does it wane and slow the increase? But you know, where we had this less than 2%, well, it's made up for that. But at what pace is it going to continue? Is it going to dial back and go up at 2, or is this going to be more at 3 or 4 or more on an annual basis? So you could see the Fed having to react to that with dialing back the bond buying and actually the raising of interest rates. And at what pace might they do that is, I go back to the invest 50-50 with a tactical approach. You're probably going to wish you were using that strategy if this does indeed come to pass. And I think that is in our future down the road, and you will see more market volatility. And that's painful for those that it isn't being managed well and that are taking income. It can accelerate the spend down of assets. So that is a concern. Investing for retirement. I go, the invest 50-50. You need multiple asset classes. You need to reduce volatility, and you need a plan for taking income in retirement years. So that's one of your concerns. That's one of some of the core things we address there. Here's one. See this, running out of money. Number one concern, number one question retirees have. I'm worried about running out of money. And that's why you need to look at our strategies. We have this page in our workbook. I call it the RBG3. But it's something I like to look at. And I'm like, okay, this is where you're at. Let's factor in some inflation, some conservative growth, and distributions. And how do you look at 90? Okay, scroll down. Let's take a look at age 110. I want to see how that's going for you.
Did you say RBG3?
Well, that is the title of my page, okay. But it doesn't. If you're trying to connect it to a football player in the past, it doesn't.
I was thinking maybe Supreme Court Justice.
No, it was that. I gave that page, and it was just a random thing, and I just titled it that about 15 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, but I like that look into the future. It just, to me, it's RBG3. But I like that page because it takes a look into the future to see how things are going to look under certain scenarios. And running out of money is a problem. So technically, we always want to make sure we leave some behind, because if you didn't, you ran out.
Yes, and we know the goal is for your very last check to bounce, but that's not how you're going to plan it out.
No, we're not going to get there, but we can donate that last check,
right?
Left behind.
No, and the main part is, of course, whether or not you're going to run out of money is the top priority. Everything else is going to be secondary to that.
How do you make sure you have enough money for retirement? Start having a conversation about it. Come and see my office. I know that's it's a kind of plug, but you need to have a plan.
All right. Sign up for the Wine, Wisdom, and Food experience or any other events you see on the website, or you can call the office 504-832-9200. But if you want to skip the line, if you want to go ahead and you're looking for a financial advisor, start your search at that phone number, 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Gregory Ricks & Associates is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest, subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. Neither AE Wealth Management nor advisors providing investment advisory services through AE Wealth Management recommend or facilitate the buying or selling of cryptocurrencies. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.